Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 116 of Season 8 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast, where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today is Dana Nachman, award-winning documentary filmmaker, producer, writer. She does everything. She has other people to help her also, but she runs the stuff. Welcome back to the show, Dana.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Oh, always fun having you on the show. It gives me another perspective of things. You know that I'm not a filmmaker and I never will be. And I might have aspired to be one at some point, but I do podcasts instead. I talk about movies instead of making them. You make them, and sometimes I get you to talk about them.
Yeah. You're a fan.
Yes. So minute 116 begins with Toby explaining the explosives situation and ends with Mike preparing a sticky bomb. So we ended things on Friday with Miller deciding to tell all of the guys that are around him, both his squad and the guys from the airborne that are there with them, that are going to be fighting off the Germans at this bridge. So he's trying to put a plan together, and he starts things off by he ended things on Friday by starting to look at what they have. The first thing you need to do, obviously, is you need to see what resources you have. What do you have to fight back? And so he started getting a little bit of an explanation. And, the way that things begin in this episode is, they're continuing to explain stuff. But before we get there, Dana, why don't you first tell everyone, what's your background with this movie? Do you remember when you first saw it? Is it something that you watch often? As a filmmaker, what do you think of this little director named Steven Spielberg, who isn't that popular, or famous? What do you think about this little movie he did?
I really like it. To be honest, I'm not sure I ever saw it again after the my first time watching it, which was in the theater. I don't really remember who I was with. So I hadn't seen it in a long time, and watched it for this. I don't gravitate towards war movies. So that's probably why I didn't see it. I know. I mean, I really, have a hard time, if I'm just going to relax, to go to a war movie. I've only seen Schindler's List once. I've only seen, most of the great, war movies I've only seen once. So, and it was funny because I asked my son if he wanted to watch it with me again. And then it turned out, we couldn't find the time. But then when I was watching the end, the last 40 minutes yesterday, my son came and sat with me. And he's like, oh, I've already seen this. And I was surprised that he had seen it already. Without me, because I usually get him to watch all the. But I guess he did it. He was Steven Spielberg was his famous American for a school project. So I guess maybe he watched it.
Could be.
But I thought it was really good again when I watched it. I mean, the extended battle scenes are a little tough for me. I could fast forward through them if that wasn't sacrilege. I like the arc and the plot and Steven Spielberg's his flair with this kind of movie is about what I could take.
Okay. All right, that is fair. That is fair. All right, so let's dive back in. So Toynbee starts by saying, I got the bridge wired with enough composition B to blow it twice. And then Miller says, all right, you can spare some then. And then he mentioned something at the end of last week about a sticky bomb, and nobody really knew what it was. And now he decides that he's going to actually explain what it is. And he goes, well, you take a standard issue GI sock. You cram it with as much comp B as it can hold. You rig up a simple fuse. Then you coat the whole thing with axle grease. That way, when you throw it, it should stick. It's a bomb that sticks. It's a sticky bomb. You come up with a better way to knock the tracks off a tank, I'm all ears. So, I really like the way that, here he's joining this group of soldiers. Maybe it's a platoon. We don't even know how many men there are, which obviously they do on purpose so that they will have a lot of cannon fodder for later on. But we don't know how many people are part of Henderson's group, and the fact that Henderson, is a corporal and he's the one who's theoretically in charge, opens up the possibility that Miller now can lead all of these men. It's a throwback to the beginning of the movie, when after the initial battle, when Miller is explaining to Mike, their new mission. So Mike says to him, "Wait a second, they took away your company?" And he goes, "Well, it wasn't my company, it was the Army's." But here, he's sort of getting that back. He's the one who's been able to think up the plan and decide what they're going to do here. I mean, it makes you wonder what Henderson and his men were going to do. Was it just going to be an ad hoc type of fight, if the Germans show up, that type of thing? But here, Miller's saying, "Okay, we have an idea. Why don't we take this? Why don't we take that? Why don't we use this? Why don't we use that?" All these different things. I mean, I don't think none of these guys knew about socks. So it wasn't something that they theoretically would have thought of beforehand. So I like the way that they play this out from that perspective. They put Miller back in the driver's seat, I guess you can say, from that perspective. He's back in his element, even though, this isn't teaching English composition or whatever.
Right. Yeah. No, I like the whole I thought it was very clever how they did the explanation of the sticky bomb, because it was so descriptive that you remembered that, and then I don't know how many minutes later it they actually utilized those sticky bombs, and then like you're really at you as the viewer, you know exactly what they did, and I thought that was just clever because it drives you more closely into the to the actual scene when it's just visuals, because you know exactly what they're doing and exactly what the intention is with it. Otherwise, if they hadn't explained that, you might not have really realized, like you might have thought it was going to blow up the take the tracks off the tank or whatever, but like you wouldn't have really been at at one with it and really understood it.
I love in movies when they explain something in detail and then we get to see it afterwards being utilized. The biggest example that I always bring of that is Titanic. You have at the beginning where Bodine is explaining what happened on that night, and they're just showing us a graphic and explaining the whole thing. But throughout the course of the movie, you see that everything that he explained at the beginning, we get to watch. So in the
Right.
back of our minds, we know what's going to happen, but now we're visualizing it in a different way. Or we're experience first we're visualizing it, then we're experiencing it. Same idea here.
Exactly. It's like planting a seed. So the more seeds that you can plant, the better. And then also it's using exposition in a like too much exposition is often very bad and drags down movies, but if you use it for this kind of a reason, and then you're kind of as a viewer expecting something like this later where you could see it being used, and then if you don't ever get that, you're like, oh, well, that was wasted time and kind of just too clunky. So this is a good example of it used well.
I mean, again, this is a relatively long movie, but it doesn't necessarily feel that way.
No.
Because of the
It's sort
way
of epic.
everything just moves through it, right? They're
Yeah,
epic that are boring. It's not, it depends
I
on
mean,
how you film it.
this year's version off, not to be off topic, but like I just watched The Brutalist. I don't know if you've seen
No,
that
I
yet.
haven't yet seen it. I have a few weeks. I mean, I know that the Oscars were almost a month ago by the time everyone's listening to this. We as of recording, we still have a few weeks, and that is one of three. I only have three movies that I still need to watch that are nominated, plus I think another eight shorts that I haven't seen yet. At this point,
Wow,
my hope
you're
is
doing
to
well.
once again this year watch. Last year I saw all but one. I missed one of the shorts. Of course, it was one that
Oh,
won, but whatever.
wow.
The
That's
shorts
funny.
that I
Oh,
like to watch, but if I don't, if I were to watch everything but the short, I wouldn't feel as if I didn't do the challenge.
right. Yeah. I have a lot more to watch still.
Well, you're a little busier than I am apparently, and but you actually get the opportunity to go and see some of those, see all the shorts in the theater if you want.
Yeah, I mean, I actually get screeners because I'm in the Directors Guild, so I
There you go.
usually watch them at home, which is bad. But I do try to see them in the theater as much as I can. But The Brutalist, because it was so long, I was like, I'm not gonna sit there for 3 hour, whatever it was, three. But it was
I think
well
it's like
worth it.
three, I think like 3 hours and 40 minutes or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. I loved it. But anyway, what I was that
Is
was
that
so
your pick?
epic.
Is that your pick as of now?
I don't know because Anora just won the oh, well, that wasn't for Best Picture actually. That usually predicts the best director, and Anora won Best Director on that the other day. I think it is. I think The Brutalist is. But I don't know. There's a lot of things happening in Hollywood that make things a little up in the air. But
No,
it's
it's
a great movie. I really liked it, and I think it was. Why did I bring this up in the first place? Oh, it was epic and really kept you. I mean, sustained, I'd say,
okay,
like this does
great. I
with the
look
long.
forward to eventually seeing to shortly seeing that. How's that?
Yeah.
Within the next few weeks. Yeah, I don't get screeners, so I guess I'll if I must, I will go see it in the theater. What can I do?
It's probably a great movie to see in the theater, to be honest. It's really, really probably now that I know it was so good, I would do it again. I mean, I would see it in the theater.
Okay, well, you could.
Yeah, but I mean, I have to watch so many other things before the Oscars, so
True.
yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, we were talking about the fact that the descriptive nature of explaining what a sticky bomb is. So, I mean, is that something that they when you're I guess studying film, is that one of the things that they talk about that that it's good to be. It's good to be descriptive about something and then afterwards visualize it, or they don't go into those places.
I mean, because I've actually never formally studied screenwriting, but one thing you hear more so is show don't tell, right? So this is more advanced than that, where you're telling and then showing, right? Which is pretty cool. And I think that's especially like what they would teach, and it'd be sophisticated. I just actually finished a screenplay, and I'm trying to think if there's any time in it that we do this. I think not. I'll have to think about it. But yeah, I would think that they would. I mean, especially if it's something that will pack more of a punch. It all depends on what it is you're going to show later, and if the audience can figure it out without the exposition beforehand, without the telling beforehand. So I think with the sticky bombs, it just would it and where you want to put your emphasis. Like they obviously wanted, and I think there was more with that too. They wanted the ingenuity of what they were doing showed they were thinking outside the box, right? And I think that that was something they wanted to put out there, not just that you understood what that sticky bomb was going to do to those, tanks, but also, look, they're being scrappy, they're doing everything they can. And I think that was part of what they were trying to get through.
Okay. That's fair. So we mentioned socks, right? Do you have any idea where the word socks comes from?
No.
Okay, so it's originally derived from an Old English word, which is SOCC, which means light slipper,
Oh.
which that comes from the Latin word soccus, SOCCUS, which is a light low-heeled shoe, which was worn by Roman actors. So I mean the whole idea of socks goes back really, really far. I was like shocked that it goes all the way back to the 300 to 500 BC. They had them in like in Egypt on the Nile. People were wearing some form of socks. Obviously not the same kind that we now know about, but something. So yeah, I was surprised actually it goes back so far.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, people make socks nowadays from cotton, wool, nylon, acrylic, polyester, and polypropylene, which I don't even know what that is really,
No.
but it's an interesting obviously there are different forms of socks. Also, you have toe socks, which is just something it encases the toes like a glove instead of also covering the ankle and stuff like that. You have what are known as leg warmers, which were, you probably remember back in the
Yep.
80s, those were when we were growing up, that was something that was very popular. The whole idea of it doesn't really fit the it doesn't cover the feet itself, but it's more the legs. But it's like leggings and stuff like that. Then you have business or dress socks, which are usually dark colored socks, either black or something navy blue, that are used for formal occasions and stuff like that. You have crew socks, which are short and thick, and they reach the ankles. Like, my kids love wearing socks that don't reach their ankles. I can't figure that out. To me, it drives me nuts. For me, a sock has to go, up onto your leg. So, I don't know.
Kids are weird.
Yeah, that goes without saying. But then obviously you also have thermal socks, which you don't have to deal with in California. But they're socks that are worn when people are either skiing or skating or doing other type of winter sports, something like that, or when you live in a colder environment, stuff like that. And they usually have more padding because they're thicker and stuff like that. And then you also have diabetic socks,
Oh.
which are a type of thermal sock that's made from acrylic, cotton, nylon, or elastic. And the idea is they're meant to keep the feet cool and dry.
Huh.
But apparently, I think I remember my stepfather used to wear those because he was a diabetic. So I don't know. Not really sure. But yeah. And so the final thing that Miller says in this little explanation, he goes, "I'm all ears." You have any idea what that phrase means?
What it means? Well, I
Yeah.
think it means I'm listening.
Yep, I'm listening attentively,
Yeah.
meaning give feel free to tell me what you want. I'm gonna do my best to help you out with
Yeah.
that, that type of thing. So yeah, and then we get the joke from Ryben, who is there sometimes for the comic relief, and he goes, "This is good. Now we got to surrender our socks." At this point, the scene changes a little bit. And we see what I like to refer to as like the A-Team scene, which did you ever watch the TV show The A-Team in the
I
80s
did
when it was
not,
on?
but I think my husband did. Maybe boys watched it more.
Okay, so they always had, right before the main battle at the end of the episode, they would always have them, do I guess a MacGyver type of rigging system, to create something in order to defend themselves against the enemy or whatever it is. So that's more or less what they're doing here. Like when I was rewatching this, to prepare for these scenes, that the theme song from the A-Team was going through my head.
That's funny.
That here they are, because they show us the them taking explosives out from the bridge. And I mean, we'll get a little more into it tomorrow, where they're just going to show even more.
Yeah, it's a
But
montage, right? Like a
they give us a nice montage of the various things that are being that are happening here.
Right.
We have, like I said, we have Toynbee taking out all this explosives, including dynamites, from the bridge itself.
Right.
And they also give us a great shot from above of the boat
Yeah.
that these two soldiers are in, and you see that they have explosives just sitting there on the boat itself,
Right.
as they're slowly taking it off and stuff like that. We see the group effort here
Yep.
for sure, and they hand stuff over to Mike, and then the scene changes again, and we see Mike then putting I guess it's composition B inside of a sock,
Yep.
and like wraps his hand around it to sort of close it. And as he's trying to do that, that's where the minute basically ends.
Yep.
But again, it's a great montage. I think I like the way that they do
Yeah,
it,
me too.
because it, it quickly gives us an idea. Okay, these guys are all in preparation mode.
Yeah, it's happening. Action.
Exactly. Okay. Did you have anything else you wanted to say about this minute?
No, I don't think so.
Okay, great. So every Monday we have a segment called the Maestro Monday, where my guests will give their top five John Williams movie theme scores, however you want to refer to that. So Dana, why don't you once again start with your number five and work your way up?
Okay, my number five is the well, I have a question, but I'll do it this way. Well, okay. Five is Star Wars main theme.
Okay.
Four, this is my question, is Olympic fanfare and theme. That's not necessarily a score though, so does that count?
That's okay. I will count
Okay.
it. I will count it. You were the first person to use it, but I will count
Okay. Number three is the finale from Fiddler on the Roof.
it.
Number two is the theme from Superman. And number one is Carol of the Bells Home Alone.
Wow, that is a great list. I'm always shocked that John Williams did the theme for Fiddler. It just
I
seems like,
know.
and that was
I know.
also his first Oscar nomination.
Oh, really? Okay. Well deserved.
Yes, apparently.
Wait, what's your number one? Are you not? Oh, you say that at the
You're gonna
end.
have to wait. You have to wait until the end of the season, as
Okay.
always. You
Okay.
always ask me.
I
So
know. I
I give you credit for
want
that. You're always well, because again, it is we are having a conversation, so I can
to
understand
know.
why you want whenever you have a conversation with somebody, you say, oh, this is my favorite this, and like for instance, when we were talking
Yeah.
about the Brutalist and stuff like that before. So it makes
Exactly.
sense, but you will have to wait just like everyone else to the end of the season to find out. All right,
Sounds
so
good.
Dana, would you like to tell everyone where they can find Dana Nachman?
Sure. Well, my website is dananachman.com, and I'm on most all social media under my name, which is usually easy to find.
All right, great. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Around Minute. You can find me on Facebook, you can find me on Twitter, you can find me on Instagram, you can find me on my website, moviearoundminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to moviearoundminute@movierob.net. So, until tomorrow, earn this.
Earnest.
My solitude, reveries of days gone by.